Here we are at the Florida Cattlemen's Association Convention, and on the email this morning, boom, I'm coming to the convention, and there's the release coming out of the university, I guess, and it's hit the news that you're retiring in a year, and it's like, whoa, that was fast, but it really hasn't been that fast. You've been one of the longest-running vice presidents, I think, at the university in that position.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think it's second longest. Most of the senior VPs have averaged 5 years. It's when I leave next July 1st, 2020, it'll be 10 years in the position, and you know, I think any administrator, it's about 10 years. It's long enough, and it's somebody else's turn to come in with some great ideas and take the organization to a new level.
You know, it's a challenging position. It's always been a challenging position. I guess I've been in this deal 41 years reporting on all this and gone through several of you guys. And, you know, I guess one thing that dawns on me, Jack, is it's the kind of position where you bring to the industry from all your travels and knowledge and seminars and education and all the circles you run in, new technology, new information, new ideas, whatever, and that's the job. But at the same time, you deal in a traditional industry, and we all know this, that sometimes it's hard to change. Talk to us a little about that concept.
Well, it's right. I mean, agriculture, I've been very fortunate to work for 5 land-grant universities, all in agriculture and natural resources, and I've been very lucky in that the people I work with, men and women who make a living off the land, are, in my opinion, among some of the best people in this world. And I have friends because I did work across the country. I have agricultural friends from around the United States. And tremendous challenges to ag from a lot of different areas. Our land-grant universities suffer because of a lack of adequate funding that they used to have in the past from state and federal governments. That needs to change. Our stakeholders probably, you know, the most important thing because, you know, you tend to do what your daddy did, what your granddaddy did, and it's a very traditional field because it's hard to take risks because risks, if you fail, can mean a loss of your business. But I ask my friends and across this great state that please trust in the science, trust in the new knowledge that the University of Florida IFAS faculty bring to agriculture. Yes, it may mean that we do things differently. We may have different recommendations for fertilization, different seed recommendations, different water regimes, different types of forages for cattle. But truth is how humans created science to get the truth as we know it. Unless you believe in crystal balls and reading palms, you have to believe in the scientific method. And it's difficult. It's always been difficult because our belief systems are so strong. And a lot of times people see the science-based evidence-based science, and their belief system is strong, they reject the science. And if agriculture is going to have a future in this state and in our country, we have to put our trust in science. There has to be good policy at the same time. We have to have good development, controlled development, protect agricultural areas. We have 1,000 people a day moving to this state. I worry about the importance of having the ability to continue farming in a state that's becoming more and more urban. We need a legislature. We need to elect people that understand the importance of agriculture and what it takes to have a successful agriculture in the state. I'm very proud of the fact that IFAS serves as the research and innovation arm of $140 billion industry that we call Florida agriculture. But it's constantly under threat with climate change, with hurricanes, with increasing population. But the only way we're going to get through this, or the most important way, is to support our land-grant university and get behind the science that our faculty produce for the benefit of the men and women making a living off the land.
You know, we heard a lot in the election last year about, gee, we better watch out, we're going to turn into a California. And one night I couldn't sleep, and I Googled up and did the math. We surpassed California in population density years ago. I think it was something like, I don't want to quote myself exactly, but in the mid-300s per square mile in Florida, and it was like 240 per square mile in California. And I told some of my friends in ag recently, and all of the urbanites out there mainly are on one coast. We've got them on three coasts squeezing agriculture in a lot smaller room and a lot smaller state. So, you know, interesting concept that you just mentioned. You know, the change is going on. Has there ever been a place that you know of that has gone from wilderness to this kind of development state as fast as Florida has in basically 100 years?
I don't think there's any place in this country, Gary. I mean, you look at the places I've worked, Utah, Iowa, Utah State, Iowa State, Texas A&M, Penn State. I mean, you know, Penn State is a congested state, but it's over just a couple of big cities, you know, Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. It's a lot of still ruralness left in Pennsylvania, but Florida is an incredible experience. You know, many people know I live in Cedar Key, and I love living there. There's no way you can develop 2 square miles surrounded by water and national wildlife refuges. But a lot of people say it reminds them of what Key West was in the old days. But I'm seriously concerned about the popularity of our state. People come down here, they look at the beauty, they drive around, they don't realize that the beauty of that land is mainly private farm and ranch land. And that we have to somehow protect that and keep it in production agriculture so that we remain strong in agriculture and we provide for the diversity and be able to protect the ecosystem services that make agriculture possible in the first place.
You know, we could go on and on, but I'll ask you a couple of quick parting shots. Most memorable moments, maybe? Anything come to mind huge?
Well, you know, I count some of my best friends among the people in the Florida Commodity Groups, people in agriculture. But when I look at all the things we've accomplished in the last 10 years, you know, we almost doubled the IFAS budget. We filled all the lost positions during the recession. But what I'm most proud about is the team I created. Surrounded by, I hired all the deans, all the department chairs, the research center directors. It's basically my team, and I'm most proud of their accomplishments and the faculty that work with us. They, you know, no matter who has this job, with people like that, University of Florida IFAS will be successful, as will agriculture.
We've got a year to work with you yet. I understand you've announced retirement, and it's, I guess, you're scheduled for June next year, something like that. But something for agriculture to be thinking about during this final year of your tenure, something you might want to wrap up that is not quite done yet. Anything you want to say?
Well, the reason I announced it now is to give the university a chance to get a search going. It takes a while to fill an academic position like this, and I think it's not fair to stay at the last minute, and by the way, I'm leaving, and then let them hang. So this way we hopefully get somebody in place that's ready to go when I step down. So that's why the early announcement. As far as this remaining year, this was the toughest legislative session I've been in my 9 years here. And that's, again, getting back to the urbanization of Florida, because it's the people who elect the legislature, and the more urban and less further away you are from an agricultural lifestyle, you elect people that don't know who we are. And this is not a good time for us in the legislature. And we really need our folks, rural Florida, agricultural Florida, to make an effort to get involved with elections and get people into that legislature that appreciate our industries and our $140 billion agriculture if we're going to maintain the support that we need down the road.
How about Jack Payne? Any personal plans? Where are you going after next June?
Well, you know, I love to fish, and I don't get to do enough of that. I like to carve birds. I work with wood. I haven't had time to do much of that. I've been learning, a lot of people laugh, but I've been spending the past year and a half trying to become a serious chef, really experimenting with a lot of really wonderful meals. So I'm even thinking about going to Italy and going to cooking school.
Oh, man, that's exciting. You're right up my alley. I went to college there for 6 months, so I'm right there with you.
Well, it's whatever. There's a lot of other things to do, and it's, you know, this. I've been at it for a long time. This is my 20th year as university vice president, and I was 7 years as a faculty member, 10 years with Ducks Unlimited. So, you know, I'm at that age where most people have already moved on, and I've been very fortunate to have good health and to have a university that still wants me, and I'm just so proud to have this opportunity.
Jack Payne, one for the ages. Appreciate your time. Thank you very much. Congratulations.
Thanks, Gary.